Have you ever said that you would have done things differently with the benefit of hindsight? Have you noticed that since the advent of mobile phones, we just don't plan like we used to? Years ago, we would make a plan and stick to it. Nowadays, we assume that we can just do something nearer the time, and in reality, we often don't do anything. Long-term planning is even more problematic, of course, in our present COVID world. Who can afford to commit in such uncertain times? And you see, long-term planning involves commitment. Long-term planning involves assuming risk. Long-term planning involves considering the cost. And God has been planning church since forever, since before the creation of the world. David and Sheena read to us from Genesis chapter 1, the beautiful account of creation. And I'd like you to think, please, for a moment about creation. Think of all the designing and planning that went into creating our wonderful world. God invented skies and seas and snow that we can see this morning. He invented day and night. He planned forests and mountains, trees and shrubs and flowers. And he created lions and tigers and elephants. And he also created you and me. But before God even started his creation, he had another plan and he made another choice. He already planned his church. He already chose his church to be his organization here on earth. So if you're willing, I'll read now from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And now we get to the bit about us. Here we find the reference to church. Verse 4, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." Here we find whispers of eternity, a plan that was made way back in eternity, since forever, and a plan that also stretches forward to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. We said earlier that long-term planning involves commitment. It involves assuming risk. Long-term planning involves calculating the cost. And even before the creation of the world, God had done his planning. God knew about the costs involved, and God knew who was going to pay. And his name is Jesus. Please look with me at verses 5 to 7. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Perhaps we can now move on to slide 2 and part 2 of our message this morning. And let me ask a question. Okay, the fact that God had church planned since before the creation of the world, and the fact that church is his chosen institution here on earth, does that mean that we just become part of his church automatically with no individual responsibility and no need to turn to him personally? Of course not. Let me read the next few verses, verses 11 to 14. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Yes, the church of God has been chosen and predestined, but all of us must respond to Jesus in faith. Please look at verse 12. Paul says, we put our hope in Christ. And in verse 13 he says, and you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. We, together with Paul and the early church, we must put our hope in Christ. We must believe in him. We need to respond to his calling. Let's now move on to slide number 3, part 3 of our message. And let me ask another question. What can we do for our church? What can we do for this wonderful organization that God had planned since before the creation of the world? I would suggest that we can thank God for our church, and we can pray for each other within our church. Let's see what Paul has to say, and we're now in verse 15. Paul says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So here we have another whisper of eternity. And in verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. He has not stopped giving thanks. I wonder, have we even started to give thanks for each other? Do we at times take church for granted? Do we at times take the people within church for granted? Let's thank God for each other. And let's join Paul in praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let's pray for each other that we may all know him better. Let's pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Cindy read to us earlier the account of the resurrection in Luke chapter 24. Think of the power that went into raising Jesus from the dead. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Let's pray for each other, that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, that we may all have what we call a light bulb moment and realize just how horrible sin is and just how wonderful is God's love and God's grace. Amen.